four of them.
A group of people were arrested for abuse in Elliott County.
The Kentucky State Police are investigating an officer involved in a shooting in Carter County.
Officials in Boyd County are having difficulty collecting payroll taxes.
Morehead State students excelled when testing for a national certification.
Lexington leaders have passed a five-year plan for city growth.
In sports, the girls' 16th regional tournament wraps up tonight in Morehead.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear tonight with a low around 11 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Four people were arrested in Sandy Hook late Friday night after a teenager reported being abused. Kentucky State Police say 47-year-old Ronald Steinspring was charged with second-degree criminal abuse, possession of a destructive device or booby trap, fleeing or evading police, and resisting arrest. 18-year-old Devin Steinspring was charged with obstruction, menacing, and resisting arrest. And 18-year-old Desi Steinspring and 47-year-old Ty Steinspring were charged with second-degree criminal abuse. Trooper Scott Farrell says police began their investigation early Friday morning.
Around 7:15 Friday morning, a male subject from Elliott County called and said that a 15-year-old girl showed up at his house needing some help. Once they talked to the girl, they went back to the residence.
Police say they were able to determine that the girl had been held at a remote location on Litton Fork Road and had left that location in the middle of the night. Three of the individuals were released from custody on Sunday. Ronald Steinspring is lodged in the Rowan County Detention Center, and no bond has been set.
The Kentucky State Police Critical Incident Response Team are investigating an officer-involved shooting after a domestic disturbance in Carter County. KSP Post 14 was notified Friday night of an altercation between a woman and another female family member. Troopers responded, but the accused had fled the scene. A few hours later, police were told she returned to the scene with a firearm. She confronted police as they re-approached the home, resulting in law enforcement opening fire. The women died from injuries sustained in the shooting. Neither the suspects or troopers' names are being released at this time. The investigation is still ongoing.
A Lexington man has been arrested after he reportedly posted nude photos of his ex-girlfriend on social media. WKYT reports the posts were made to Facebook by 38-year-old Manuel Bowling. The post depicted screenshots of a private conversation between the victim and Bowling. Police say that Bowling posted the victim's phone number and tagged her workplace in those posts. Bowling is now lodged in the Fayette County Detention Center. He's being charged with displaying sexually explicit images without consent.
Paintsville police arrested a man Thursday on an arson charge. Firefighters responded to a fire at a home on Pine Street that was already burned once before. When police arrived, they questioned Michael Eldridge, who admitted to burning trash near the house. Eldridge told police he did not mean for the fire to catch on the remains of the burnt home. The property owner, Eldridge's mother, said he had permission to burn trash, but not inside the home. Officers noticed burn patterns on the side of the house that indicated the trash was ignited right next to the wall. After further investigation, police learned there were five people in nearby apartments and a home that could have been hurt or killed if the fire had spread. Police charged Eldridge with first-degree wanton endangerment and third-degree arson. He was taken to the Big Sandy Regional Detention Center.
A man has turned himself in for vandalizing a church. Over 8 months ago, someone broke into the Old Regular Baptist Church in Pike County and caused nearly $10,000 in damage. WIMT reports 24-year-old Michael Adair turned himself in last week. Jimmy Dale Sanders has been with the church for 50 years. He recalls those who donated time or money to repairs.
The people have worked so hard here to establish this, and they come along and vandalize it. It's very upsetting, and we're thankful for every donation and all the workers that helped work get it back in shape.
With volunteer labor and donations, the church ended up paying $7,500 for repairs. Adair has been charged with second-degree arson.
The search for a missing Perry County man continues. The Belfry Fire Department, along with the Floyd County Emergency and Rescue Squad, teamed up with local crews to search for 53-year-old Danny Napier. WYMT reports the search began on February 24th when crews heard someone might have fallen into the North Fork of the Kentucky River. Jerry Stace is the Perry County Emergency Management Director. He says flooding caused difficulty when the search began.
The idea of taking advantage of your elected position.
Crews covered 30 miles of river on Saturday, but no sign of Napier was found.
Dozens of people came together Saturday night to hold a prayer vigil for Savannah Spurlock. The 23-year-old Richmond woman was last seen leaving a bar in Lexington in early January. Spurlock's aunt, Lisa Thoma, organized the vigil at the church Savannah grew up in. Her mother, Ellen Spurlock, tells WKYT she's not giving up on her daughter being out there somewhere.
Until there's no reason to have hope, I have that hope because she could still be okay out there and come home to us.
Spurlock's disappearance has sparked national interest. Police have searched a home in Garrett County where they believe she may have gone after leaving the bar, but no arrests have been made. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes and the Laughlin Building are open to the public, with 6 lanes for birthday parties, private groups, lane by the hour, or per game pricing. Also available is Cosmic Bowling for birthday parties with disco and black lights for that glow-in-the-dark experience. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m., Sunday and Monday by reservation. More information and reservations at 606-776-3457.
Officials in Boyd County are having a difficult time collecting payroll taxes. People employed within the county are required to pay 1% of their gross wages in payroll tax. However, a federal statute allows the Boyd County Federal Correction Institute to avoid withholding the tax, leaving the filing up to individual employees. The Daily Independent spoke with Boyd County Payroll Tax Administrator Susan Campbell. She says currently only half of the 240 employees at the prison pay the tax. Employees can set up payments with her office.
Kentucky's annual unemployment rate dropped to 4.3% in 2018 from 4.9% in 2017. That's according to the Kentucky Center for Statistics, an agency of the Kentucky Education and Workforce Development Cabinet's annual report, which was issued earlier today. It reflected to the lowest annual job rate for the state since 2000, when the rate was 4.2%. The number of unemployed Kentuckians for 2018 was down 11,415 from the unemployed in 2017. In 2018, the estimated number of Kentuckians in the civilian labor force was 2.6 million. This is up from the 2.5 recorded in 2017. The national annual unemployment rate dropped to 3.9% from 4.4% in 2017.
Teachers called off last week to protest in Frankfort over a bill they say could negatively impact the Kentucky teacher retirement system. WMKY's Cassidy Stearman has a breakdown of the bill.
House Bill 525 will diminish some of the Kentucky Education Association's control over who will be on the board and the number of board members. The bill was filed last week by Republican Ken Upchurch. He tells WKYT the bill will let educators have authority over their own retirement and give stakeholders a say as to who's on the board. Nominations for KEA would go down to 2, while other education associations would only have 1, treasurer, commissioner of public education, and 2 appointees by the governor would stay the same. The bill was passed out of House committee with an 11-5 vote. The bill has to go through the House and the Senate. If it is passed, it will go into effect in July. For WMKY News, I'm Cassidy Stearman.
Morehead State University's Student Government Association traveled to Frankfort in February to participate in the Rally for Higher Education. The rally was organized by the Kentucky Board of Student Body Presidents and had over 200 college students from 8 public universities in attendance. MSU's SGA President Brandon Breyer says the event assembles student government officials to provide them with the opportunity to speak directly with state legislators to voice their concerns.
I hope inspires other students to say, this is something I want to be a part of. This is a group that really cares. This is a group that can enact change both on campus and far.
Morehead State University had 24 SGA members in attendance.
Students from the Morehead State University's Department of Engineering and Technology Management received certification on a national exam. The Certified Technology Manager exam is administered by the Association of Technology, Management, and Applied Engineering to certify graduates of accredited programs. Department Chair Associate Dean Dr. Ahmad Sagari is proud of the work the students have done.
Average among all of the participating institutions is around 65%, and our students have 93%. So that is much higher than average, actually is very high. There were 41 students who took that exam this semester, and 38 of them have passed the exam.
The 38 students who passes the CTM are now able to continue education activity to qualify for the Certified Senior Technology Manager status.
Lexington City planners passed a five-year comprehensive plan for city growth last week. The Lexington Herald Leader reports the plan focuses on density, pedestrian-friendly neighborhoods, and multimodal transportation. The city's urban growth boundary stays put, and developers will have a new guide called Place Builders. Commissioner Mike Owens says it won't be easy, but the plan is a good thing for the city.
With this, at the end of the day, this will help to make Lexington a greater place to live, work, and play.
Developers argue the plan places too many restrictions on them while failing to provide a clear guide for those wishing to build within the downtown area.
A new job training program in Perry County will teach people recovering from substance abuse how to build homes. The Housing Development Alliance, a nonprofit organization, has partnered up with Perry County Drug Court and Hickory Hill Recovery Center to provide on-the-job construction training for men and women who are in recovery. Scott McReynolds works with the Alliance and came up with the idea. He says the volunteers in recovery have a meaningful experience while working.
After the training, when they're out looking for a full-time job, they'll be able to use us as a job reference. And we can say to future employers, this person showed up on time every day. They passed all their drug tests. They are ready for you to take a chance on them.
The money the organization makes selling the houses goes back into the program to train more people in recovery. Taking a look at the weather today, a chance of flurries, mostly cloudy, with a high near 29 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 13 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 29. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low around 14. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 31 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 21 degrees. And on Thursday, a slight chance of rain and snow in the afternoon. Mostly cloudy with a high near 38 degrees. Chance of precipitation is at 30%. Taking a look at the listening area temperatures in Lexington, 26 degrees, Mount Sterling, 25, Ashland, 28, Maysville, 26, Grayson, 27, Flemingsburg, 25, Inez, 29, and Moorhead. It's currently 26 degrees.
On our feature segment today, a report issued by the Department of Justice last week focused on a troubled past at a Catlettsburg facility. WMKY's Naya Andueza has more.
The Department of Justice released a statement which claims that the Boyd County jail conditions violate inmates' 4th, 8th, and 14th Amendment rights. While those claims may have been true at one point, the new Boyd County jailer, William Hensley, has been working hard to implement changes. Hensley was sworn in after the previous jailer stepped down and immediately started making improvements.
We've upgraded the food. Went from medical to 24-hour medical now with RN instead of LPN. We do have LPNs, but the supervisors are registered nurse, and they are here 24 hours. Already been upgrading areas of the jail with the financial support and the physical court. We have many upgrades lined out, and we're bidding now to do. We're working on the body scanner, better camera system, different areas, and we're buying different stuff for the inmates also.
17 new people have been hired, new precautions are being taken, and additional trainings have been added for employees.
There's required training every year, so bringing people in. They have a complete background check, drug screening, and go through training. Sean, like I said, we've done a lot of use of force training with Bear Arms, Air Certified Instructors, Department of Correction, DOJ, and CAICO.
Violation and misconduct of employees are being highly monitored. Hensley says what was considered to be routine use of excessive force has dropped significantly.
All the stuff, any misconduct by staff is documented. The disciplinary procedures have been and are taking place if there's any violation of these policies. So everything has already been put into place. So I think that it'll be just fine. If they came in to look now, I think they would be happy. Since December 3rd, we've had no use of taser, no physical strikes, and only one deployment of pepper spray.
Less contraband has also been reported. Hensley says more cell checks are being conducted, and he hopes to have body scanners in place soon. Jail staff are trying to find other areas where contraband may be brought into the facility.
Every day, anything that we find, an area that we can identify that might have been a potential area for it to come in, we're going with the mail that comes in, we're going to start scanning it and put it electronically to the inmates so that, and then the physical mail will go into the property bags that they get when they get out if they want to keep it as a keepsake memento. But
Hensley's focus moving forward is to continue improving the facility.
The stuff that was in this report was in the past. It's definitely not the present, and it will never be the future.
For WMKY News, I'm Naya Andweza.
It's 4:47 and 26 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Chaz Jenkins, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this Monday afternoon. Joe Lewis has sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
The road to the Sweet 16 is nearly complete. MSU gears up for the OVC tournament, and Kentucky hopes to get back on track. Those stories and more are coming up on your WMKY Sports Report. I'm Joe Lewis. The girls' 16th regional tournament wraps up tonight at Morehead State University's Johnson Arena. Russell and Boyd County will meet in tonight's championship game. The Red Devils beat West Carter in the semifinal round Sunday night, 62-59. The Lady Lions obliterated Lewis County in their matchup Sunday, 66-23. The two teams met twice during the regular season, with Boyd coming out on top by at least 20 points in both games. Tip-off tonight is set for 7 p.m. The winner of the matchup will head to the Sweet 16 tournament. They'll face off with the winner of the 7th region, which also will be decided tonight. DuPont Manual and Louisville Male face off at 6 p.m. State tournament action begins March 13th at the University of Kentucky's Rupp Arena. The high school boys' Sweet 16 is set to kick off Wednesday at Rupp. Ashland Blazer took down the 16th region title with a 59-43 win over Boyd County on Sunday. The Tomcats now head to Lexington to take on Owensboro in the opening round of the state tournament. That game is set to tip off at 8 p.m. Elsewhere in eastern Kentucky, Johnson Central avenged last year's regional final loss to Pikeville, taking down the Panthers 66-61 on Saturday to win the 15th region. The Golden Eagles are set to take on the Shamrocks of Trinity Louisville in an afternoon tip-off at 1:30 p.m. Wednesday. First round action in the Sweet 16 will continue through Thursday, with quarterfinals set for Friday and semifinals on Saturday. The state championship game is set for a 2 p.m. tip-off on Sunday. The Morehead State University men's basketball team has locked in their spot for the OVC tournament. The Eagles were able to secure a postseason berth with a gritty one-point win over Eastern Kentucky in Richmond on Saturday. Head coach Preston Spradlin says it's great to be back in the tournament.
We're just thankful for the opportunity to be there. We were sitting at home last year. It wasn't a good feeling, so we're going to the tournament. And, you know, I'm not going to say I like our matchup. I got respect for John and his team, SIUE, and they beat us. They took that game from us at their place.
The Eagles are seeded fifth, and they head to Evansville, Indiana, Tuesday to prepare for a Wednesday matchup with eighth-seeded SIU Edwardsville. The Cougars are 10-20 overall and finished 6-12 in conference play during the regular season. Tip-off between MSU and SIU Edwardsville is set for 6:30 p.m. Wednesday. Morehead State women's basketball is also preparing for its OVC tournament opener this week. After getting its first win at EKU since 2011, the Lady Eagles have a quick turnaround before their first-round matchup this week. Head coach Greg Todd says Belmont is likely the team to be in the tournament, but there are more pressing things for his team to think about right now.
They've been pretty dominant this year, but they did lose this week. And we feel like, we're not really worried about Belmont right now. I mean, we've got to, one, find out what Krista did with her ankle, and two, get ready for a great week in the OVC tournament. So.
Morehead State is the number two seed in the tournament. They face off against 7th seed Jacksonville State in the first round on Wednesday. The Eagles fell to the Gamecocks 68-57 when the two teams last met on February 21st. Tip-off between MSU and Jacksonville State is set for 3 o'clock Wednesday. The Eagles baseball team travels to Louisville tomorrow to face off against the Cardinals. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has more.
Coming off a weekend of wins, the Morehead State baseball team heads to Louisville for their 11th game of the season. The Eagles are 9-1 so far this season with an 8-game winning streak. MSU is coming off two wins over the NJIT Highlanders on Saturday in Morehead. The Cardinals are also coming off a 3-game series win over James Madison over the weekend. The Cardinals are 8-3 so far this season. The first pitch is slated for 4 p.m. at the Jim Patterson Stadium in Louisville. For WMKY Sports, I'm Keneally Roberts.
And finally, number 6 Kentucky heads on the road to take on conference rival Ole Miss tomorrow night. The Cats are coming off a blistering 86-69 loss to 5th-ranked Tennessee on Saturday afternoon in Knoxville. Speaking after the game, head coach John Calipari said his team will have to regain its focus and play as a single unit if they hope to succeed moving forward.
It was the first game in a while where we did not play for each other. And it was kind of like every man for himself. Well, then this is what you're going to have. And the team I'm coaching, they absolutely need each other. They got to have each other. And if one guy goes off on his own, today we had 3 and 4 guys go off. But we'll learn and move on.
At 13-3 in conference, and with only 2 games left to play in the regular season, Kentucky sits a game behind both LSU and Tennessee, who are each 14-2 in SEC play. Ole Miss is 9-7 in conference and is on a 2-game losing streak. Tip-off in Oxford for the Cats and the Rebels is set for 9 p.m. tomorrow night. And that's your look at sports. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Joe Lewis.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagles softball hosts Marshall on Wednesday for a doubleheader beginning at 1 p.m. Softball also welcomes Akron this weekend starting at noon Saturday and Sunday. Tickets available from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks staged a marked turnaround today as the market initially was strong and then sank back below the key 2800 level on the S&P 500 amid continuing hopes of a trade resolution between the U.S. and China. And at the close, the Dow Industrial showed a loss of 206.67 at 25,819.65. The S&P 500 was down 10.88 at 2792.81, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 17.79 at 7577.57. The broad index closed above 2800, of course, the S&P did on Friday, and this marked its highest level, or I should say closing level, since November the 8th. Stocks started giving back their earlier gains after the Commerce Department said construction spending dropped 0.6% for the month of December. Economists had forecast a gain of 0.2%. The indices also rolled over as the S&P 500 tech sector fell 0.4%. Salesforce was one of the biggest decliners in the sector, sliding more than 3% ahead of their quarterly earnings release. Equities began the session on a positive note on news that a trade deal between the U.S. and China was nearing completion. Many investors decided to sell on the upbeat headlines and argued that the indices had already accounted for an agreement between the two economic powerhouses. Dish Network was up almost 4% on an analyst upgrade, and CenturyLink was down over 6% as the company delayed the release of its annual report. In the commodities markets today, crude oil was up 1.2%, finishing at $56.47 a barrel. Gold was down 0.9% at $1,287.40 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a good day, with the Stock 600 index up 0.2%. In Asia, stocks were strong as well, with the Nikkei up 1% and the Shanghai Composite up 1.18%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, the best performers were Dow, DuPont, and Intel, while the worst performers were United Health Group and Walgreens. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Dish Network and Pulte Group, and the worst performers were CenturyLink and WellCare Health Plans. Turning now to stocks of local interest, U.S. Kroger up 63 cents at $28.65, U.S. Bancorp down 6 cents at $51.66, UPS down $1.63 at $110.50, PPL up 11 cents at $32.37, Toyota was down $1.93 at $118.41, and Anthem was down $15.02 to finish at $292.66. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, video tapes and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
Taking a look at some events coming up in the region, the Rowan County Caring and Sharing Alzheimer's Group will meet at 6 p.m. today at the Rowan County Public Library. Caregivers of those with Alzheimer's or related disorders are invited to attend. Attendees will receive education, support, and new information about caregiving issues.
St. Clair Healthcare will host a free colon cancer awareness health fair from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. on Thursday, March 7th at the Moorhead Conference Center. Door prizes, t-shirts, and free health screenings will be offered. Appointments are not necessary and no fasting is required.
Coffee Tree Books in Moorhead will host a book signing and discussion with Dave Flora at noon on Saturday, March 9th. The artist and author will lead a discussion and sign copies of his new book, Drawn from the Gospel.
A blood drive sponsored by the Kentucky Blood Center will be held at St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Monday, March 11th. Donors must be able to provide a photo ID, be at least 17 years of age or 16 with parental consent, and weigh at least 110 pounds and be in general good health.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Joe Lewis, Tanner Boyd, Brian Courtney, Keneally Roberts, Cassidy Stearman, Tandy Wallingford, Grant Johnson, Logan Pemberton, Cody Robinson, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Naya Andweza. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. Stay tuned. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.